I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What have you come today to sort through? Which headline has taken you down another notch? How is your anxiety level after reading once again of the tragedies that deepen and widen the potholes of the broken road of our human existence? What can you and I possibly expect to hear and receive in hanging out together here in this sacred place that would help? A lot, actually. More than we know. You and I are doing something very outstanding in the modern world. We are here once again, keeping the tradition of humbly expecting God to enlighten us with her knowledge and empower us with her power, not for our own end, but for hers. Jesus said to his closest followers, "Stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Stay in Jerusalem. Stay in the sacred city called peace, that holy place where shalom is meant to radiate out from to the whole world. Stay in this city. Stay in this city where Jesus was honored one day and crucified the next. A holy but broken place." Jesus' command to them to remain in the city means that they are not to abandon it to the forces aimed against God's shalom, God's peace. Stay in the city means facing the ongoing headlines of the first century that have the potential to induce tremendous anxiety and despair. Truly, they can only stay there due to the promise Jesus gave them, that they would receive a mantle from on high, from beyond this mortal life, that would give them the power to bring God's shalom to the four corners of their tumultuous world. The image of being clothed from on high is like that of the superhero cape. Mm-hmm. The moment Batman, Spider-Man, Catwoman, or Wonder Woman puts the cape around their necks, they know what to do to save and rescue people from the schemes of the villains. And they have the power to do so. Without the cloak, they are just ordinary people. The appeal of becoming more than ordinary to save the day is something we have played with from childhood, if we're honest. It is fun to think of those days, eh? If you have recently seen a child dressing up with a cape, you may have found yourself smiling as you see them transform before your eyes. The leap from the couch with the cape flowing behind them is evidence that they are flying over skyscrapers to swoop down and rescue their baby sister in distress on the floor. Oh, the joy of it all. I wonder if this isn't a little bit of what was going on in the imaginations of the disciples, sitting before the risen Jesus, as he tells them that if they remain patient and watchful, they will be cloaked with the extraordinariness visibly radiating from him. They are in no hurry to go elsewhere then. They follow him to Bethany, where there he blesses them and leaves them to watch, to wait, to expect, and hope for his promise to come true. Their response to Jesus' blessing is utter joy. Unbounded, overflowing joy is the very essence of their worship in the days following as they gather in the temple in Jerusalem. Are they not entirely excited, perhaps, to become superheroes like Jesus? Are they not overjoyed to finally have the places of greatness next to the Messiah be invested with prophetic and priestly gifts for the reign of shalom to settle into all the corners of the world? Just before this scene in Luke's story, the disciples had asked if, well, is now the time? Now that you've defied death, is it time for the reign of shalom to finally come? Did it not mean that now God's people will be able to prosper and establish themselves well with good governance, good worship, good health, good homes and jobs, and a good family life as well? In this scene in the story of Luke 24, Jesus blesses them, quite likely with like the priestly blessing given by God for priests to say over all the Israelites, "The Holy One bless you and keep you. The Holy One make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Holy One turn his face towards you and give you peace." What the disciples would learn is that the scope of this blessing was far bigger than they could have ever imagined. What they would come to experience, because they watched and waited for his promise to be fulfilled, was that the power to come upon them wasn't limited to any one person or one people group. It wasn't a power for their own purposes, and it wasn't a power for their own desires, but for God's. The Holy Spirit wasn't going to give them a share in divine power for their personal scheme of prosperity, for some fulfillment of a childhood fantasy of reigning as a king, without using that power and those gifts to truly bring peace and harmony to humankind the world over. What gives us anxiety are the many people in the world today who are doing all they can to make their childhood fantasies of reigning supreme a reality. What is troubling is seeing people be invested with power, donning regalia and cloaks and uniforms and vestments with signs and symbols of their power and then misusing it. We are suspicious of power altogether because of it. We tend to feel the word power is a bad word, one we should shy away from. There is no joy and celebration to be had over a leader looking like a superhero, but not at all acting like one. That is, for thinking that the power they have is a means for their own end. The notion of the divine right of kings to validate their power with a display of wealth in the billions of dollars, mansions in many different countries, and a growing fan base isn't at all the kind of power from above that Jesus promised his disciples and us. Just to be clear, you can operate with this kind of thinking no matter where your place is in society. It is fostered in hidden places as well as in high places. People make their own cloaks, invest themselves with personal power, and do not at all want to watch and wait for power from the beyond, from the Holy One, who alone knows what our day and time needs. In this, we find ourselves worried and anxious. So as the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4, "Don't be anxious. Trust God through prayer to reveal her power and grace. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." There is that word power again. It is a power of understanding which comes from beyond our troubled circumstances, from the seat of divine knowledge, enabling us to sort through all the messy ideas. It is the power from the beyond where Christ ascended and from where he promised to send down his Holy Spirit. It is the power that rose Jesus from the dead and the power that is only visible as a cloak-filled light of shalom, of peace. It is the power of forgiveness and repentance to turn our hearts from our misunderstanding about what God wishes for us to know and do with his power. This is the power the disciples anticipated, which brought them such joy. They were not sad to see Jesus depart. I find that so striking. They were not sad because his ascension was the culmination of everything they suffered with him to see come about. Now is the time to truly understand what a share in his power means. Now, as Christ returns to the Father, they are not left anxious, but hopeful. For now they could truly be like him in this life, living out the vision of the reign of Shalom as spoken by the man from beyond, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God was full of joy to pass on her spirit upon Jesus' departure. Jesus, on the behalf of the Father and the Spirit, conveyed God's desire to drape us with the kind of power that is meant to bring joy in others. those waiting and watching for a powerful hand to lift them up and let them live in peace. When we are baptized, we are thus so clothed. The mantle of power, witnessed in the humility and tenderness of Jesus Christ, is ours. We are called to be superheroes in this way. We mustn't be afraid of the power invested in us to participate in the rescue and salvation of the lowly and meek of our world today. Christ has risen and ascended and sent us the Holy Spirit as promised. The blessing that brings us joy is that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us now. We are fitted with the humble garments of servants of the Holy One, who first told us what the reign of God on earth is meant to be. And it comes from Luke 4, as he stood in the temple of Nazareth. This is what we can say of ourselves now too. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us because he has anointed us to bring good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor for all people. On any given day of our lives, we too have the power to be generous in spirit and bring healing to those we meet on the broken road of our human existence. May we with humility walk in this power and bring life to others. Amen. Amen.